You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning, folks.
Morning, Dan and Danette.
Morning.
Here we are. Another day, another Dan Patrick Show. If you'd like to watch, Peacock.
Peacock. I like the way you say Peacock.
If you want to listen later, download the podcast.
Download.
But right now, 3 hours live of the best sports talk on the air. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God.
Home to the biggest guests and best sports talk on radio.
I love it.
One of my favorites.
Normally, home to Dan Patrick.
Hope you'll miss us.
But today, Dan and the Danettes are off.
Don't see another radio show behind my back, please.
And filling in, it's Doug Gottlieb and Jason Smith.
Good. There we go. It's good.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is the Dan Patrick Show.
Greetings and welcome inside. Happy Monday, the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith and Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes. You know, it's kind of funny, Doug. You know, every time you and I fill in, you know, it's usually on a Monday or a Tuesday. We have a big sports weekend to get to. We discuss and all of that. And we'll get to the Masters coming up in a couple minutes. But,
yes.
You know, it's always about what's happening. You know, hey, what have you been up to? What's been going on? And I think that's been replaced in all our lives with, did you get the vaccine yet? Did you get your first vaccine? What did you get? Did you get Moderna? Like, I don't get why people want, hey, did you get Moderna or Pfizer? Like, are people writing books? Oh, I want to make sure. Okay, you got Pfizer. You got Moderna. Oh, you got Johnson & Johnson. Oh, okay. Like, that's become the big icebreaker now in conversations.
Well, I got Johnson & Johnson. And I was confused at the time on Friday when I got my vaccine card and it said Janssen. And I walked out and I texted a buddy and I was like, these clowns, they don't even know how to spell Johnson & Johnson. This is the person injecting my arm with some, you know, special vaccine. He's like, psst, stupid. It's made by Janssen. I was like, oh, thank God I didn't tweet that one out.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
So have you gotten the vaccine?
Yeah, I got my first one on Friday.
I did too. Well, I got the Johnson & Johnson on Friday, so I'm done. But I will tell you.
Oh, yeah, okay. you got the one. You feel now, was that the one that you were assigned, or did you decide to try to sign up and get the Johnson & Johnson?
I just signed up and got it. Like, it was in California now, it's pretty easy. I mean, it's, you just go to a website and you can, there's walk-up sites, whatever. And I mean, literally it was Thursday and I saw, what happened was Thursday, I was doing my show and I don't know if you saw this, but it popped up. There's a big mobile site at Cal State Los Angeles. And though it's a little out of the way, it's sort of on my way if I was going into work. And anyway, there was apparently for a period of time, they're like, well, anybody who walks up, because they had extra doses of Johnson & Johnson. So I went online to see, well, maybe Friday morning I'll go up and I'll just wait in line and get the vaccine. And they're like, yeah, that lasted like 2 hours and then they got swamped and then they went back to appointments. So I went online and I got an appointment. It was like 30 minutes from my house. I wanted the Johnson & Johnson because I know you're getting you got the 2-shot one, but I just feel like between my ADD would creep in, and I'd either one, forget to get the second one, or two, want to get the second one like right away. You know, just like waiting another line. Give me another one. Hit me with another one. I just want to get this done. So
really, you think you'd forget to get the second one? You go, what do I? There's something. I would say, honestly, what it is.
My son had it, and he had slept with me after a couple basketball tournaments, like literally slept next to me. We'd spend every waking hour together, and I never tested. I was keeping track like 72 times because of all my travels. And any kind of test, I never tested positive for it. So I'm guessing I had had it a long time ago or whatever. So I don't know. Part of me was like, if I got one, I'm good. Do I want the second one? I don't know. Anyway, I wanted the Johnson. Once they said one shot, I was like, that's the one that I want. Have you had any side effects? Have you had any weird feelings or anything?
No, my arm hurt a little bit, like for a day, like kind of like you do, like after you get your flu shot, because the vaccine is much less. I was prepping myself for going, it's going to be a big needle. It's going to go in, you know, cause they say how it goes into the muscle and all that. So I'm like, okay. And it was like just a quick, and I was like, wow, that's it? They said, yeah. I said, oh, my goodness. It was great. But then I know my arm was a little sore for the next, like, day and a half. And then it was okay. I mean, I hear most of the people who have gotten them, they say it's after the second one, if any effects real come. That's the one that really is the one. Okay, you got to watch out for that second one.
Well, I had a tough Friday night. I had the chills like you would not believe, like teeth chattering, wrapped in blankets. I felt like I had the flu. That's really what it was. Like if that's what it's like, supposedly if you have, it's like you feel like a small part, like a one day part of what it would feel like to have it. Like I did not feel good at all. I was bad. And then I was coaching basketball weekend. That's why my voice is so wonderful. And so like I was a little aggro, like my neck hurt. I had a headache. I was just Saturday. I was not good. And then by Sunday I was better. I mean, I was still an idiot for all the stuff I was doing this weekend coaching, but the Johnson & Johnson packs a little bit of pop, which I've heard on the other ones. It's the second one, but all good now. But still, I mean, it is interesting. I said this Friday on my radio show. It's like it's a little bit like truck guy. Have you ever owned a truck?
No. Are you kidding? My wife's never gonna let me get a truck.
So when you own a truck. The brand of truck you own, like, says everything about you to other truck guys. It doesn't. Now, like, truck guys are all like, "Yeah, I got a truck. What kind of truck you got? I got Ford. Oh, Ford. I'm a Chevy guy. Chevy. I'm a Dodge guy." Right? Like, once you get to whatever your brand is, it's generally what's your brand. There's dudes that their dad bought a Ford truck. They got a Ford truck. Their kid's gonna get a Ford truck. They even have little Ford trucks running around their house. Right? Like, that's I think that's what the vaccine's like. Well, I got Johnson & Johnson. Everybody in my family's going to get Johnson & Johnson. We're the Johnson & Johnson family. Like, no, we're Moderna. We're a Moderna family here. I don't understand it, but that's like, is that an American thing? Is that a people thing? But it definitely is a thing in terms of the bragging of well, I get the Moderna and I had no side effects. It's quite wonderful and it's just smooth and goes down easy. I heard the Johnson & Johnson's crap, right? That's how people talk bad about other people's trucks.
Yeah. You know, it's weird because when people ask about it and say, "Hey, you know, what did you get?" "Oh, really? Okay." Because a friend of mine got the Pfizer and they had a bad reaction. Okay, great. Like they're doing this some kind of unscientific experiment you know, of the 10 people I talked to, six people got Moderna, three got the Pfizer.
Just
one got the Johnson & Johnson. Two people, like, "Oh, really? Yes, this is some kind of scientific thing where suddenly, oh, I know two people that had five." That's 66% of the people I know had a reaction. So I'm getting Moderna or nothing else. It's very strange to see what, you know, that's like the go-to question that everybody wants to know. Like they're doing some kind of research for something.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting deal. But it also, like, I think all of this, how much of the Masters did you legitimately watch?
I watched the end yesterday. And I watched a little bit on the first couple of days.
I watched more in the first couple of days than I did the last couple of days. And I know the last couple of days were better. But I mean, part of it is I'm doing my show, which is 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. Anyway, part of it is I'm doing my show, so it's on. I guess my thing this year, obviously, like everybody, I like watching when Tiger's playing, bummed out. Also, like, it's a little bit like the NBA. Like, didn't we just have the Masters like 5 minutes ago?
Mm-hmm.
And I get that the azaleas is different and it feels more normal. And there's actually some people there, like all of that stuff, but they didn't have the stands. And then I think part of it also is there's lots of people like, "Man, I've been inside for a year." I have some family friends, like a kid that I coach, my 12U team, the Hannons. And I was like, "Are you guys?" They went on vacation last week. They just like got in the car. They hadn't been anywhere in a year. And he keeps texting me like, "Hey man, we were going to come back on Friday, but we're still on vacation. We haven't been anywhere in a year." I'm like, you know, I mean, so they got their shots and they hit the road and I don't even know if they're coming back. They're just now traveling. I think that you combine the fact that there's no Tiger. You combine the fact that so many people hadn't been out and about, and now you can be out and about. And by the way, golf has that effect on you, right? Like I've always said, golf is like adult movies in watching said act makes you want to perform said act, right? That's watching golf makes you want to play golf. And you're like, "Wait, I've been inside all year and now I can go play golf or I could watch golf." Like, this is not a question to me. So I don't know the numbers. I don't know the ratings, But I'm guessing that poor Hideki Matsuyama, who ends up winning by a stroke, that it's going to be one of the least watched Masters ever.
No, note to self, Doug Gottlieb likes to watch adult films. Let me write this down.
No, that's what I said.
Things I know about Doug Gottlieb now that I didn't.
I did not say that I liked to watch them. I did not say that I didn't like to watch
them.
You had a take on it.
You had a take on adult films.
Absolutely. You don't know that golf is like adult films? Wait, here's another one. You're never going to be as good as what you see on the screen. You're just not. I'm sorry. You're just not. You don't have that in you. Sorry, bud. And you may think you do, but you don't. But you could always pick up a tip from a pro. You can. You can.
Like, see, I was thinking more like, don't eat yellow snow.
Choke up on the back.
Things I know about Doug Gottlieb.
I'm just saying these are parallels that I've always thought.
I've never seen that parallel. I've never heard of that parallel.
Really?
No, I'm not. Is that something definitely. You like sitting on your couch, your family's around, you go, hey, you know what? Do you ever think that golf is like adult films? Wait, where are you all going? Where's everybody
that
going? I've got to explain this to you.
That one is not a kid discussion. No, there's not. That one is not one that we bring up with our children. No, that one we pass on. We pass on. Not so much. Not so much.
No, but you know, the thing with the Masters is that it used to be just a Tiger thing, right? It used to be a Tiger thing. And it was always Tiger or nothing because he changed the way we judge success in golf, right? He won unlike anybody else. Because before Tiger, it was if a guy won twice in 2 years, that's a pretty good 2 years. I don't mean majors, just winning two tournaments. Hey, he won last year at the Farmers, and he won this year at the Deposit Guarantee. Hey, that's pretty good. But now we've moved past that, and we still have the stars in golf who bring us out. But the issue with golf more than any other sport is that if people are watching games less and sporting events less, and they're not tuning in for the beginning of games like they always have, which I'll catch the second half, I'll do this, because we've kind of seen that across the board the way sports ratings have gone. When you have an event like the Masters where after a day you can say, okay, who do I see up on top of leaderboards? Is there anybody that I know? Jordan Spieth is up there. Okay, that's not bad, but where's Dustin Johnson? Where are some of the other guys I like? And the names that we have come to know over the past few years have become the next young up-and-coming groups. Hey, where's Brooks Koepka? Where are guys like that? If they're not on the leaderboard, then it's like, okay, am I going to go watch Xander Schauffele? I mean, is it something that I got to get to the TV for? It isn't. And that's the inherent thing with golf is that when you have a good tournament, hey, everybody knows about it. I got to watch. That momentum just, blends from one day to the next. But when it's not, it's really, really difficult because it's okay, we're going to try to sell stories here, over the course of this weekend. And while when it's on Thursday and Friday and people are still working from home and doing all kinds of things around their house, hey, I'd love to get the Masters for a few minutes here. But when you get to the weekend, as you said, things get busy. You see the way the leaderboard broke down, especially with a huge lead that Matsuyama had. I don't know that that's getting anybody the television.
Yeah, it's a hard one. It's a very, very difficult one where no matter how good it is when it's not Tiger, Phil, super established name, it becomes you got to be hardcore golf guy. I watch the Masters every year guy, or you just can't watch. That's generally what it is. And it's not in any way an insult to golf guy, like, well, you just don't get the Masters. Like, no, I get it. But it's par for the course of any sport, right? I mean, it just is. In Major League Baseball, the Dodgers will draw quite well. But like, if it's the Rays and if it's somebody else we don't know and hasn't established themselves in our mind, we're not going to watch as much. The NFL is mostly impervious to this. But one of the reasons NFL is mostly impervious to this is because they always have a star somehow involved, right? Tom Brady will never, he's like in every Super Bowl. Tom Brady's like when the president's on, and remember when we were kids? The president was on every channel when he do a speech. That's like Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl again. Like, this is no way. Right. So now he has that. I love Tom Brady and he just keeps playing and winning, or I hate Tom Brady. Please get off my channel, but I'll still watch. It's like the Duke thing. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at college basketball as much to say, if it's not an established name, it's really hard. And then I think you factor in that we did just have a Masters in October. And then all the other things and people starting to get out and about and going on spring break and I'm out. I think that changes. And I think that changes things altogether. I don't think it makes you a bad person for admitting what the reality of the difficulty in getting people to watch that sport and that sporting event is.
No, look, because I have a non-adult film analogy for you. Ooh. If that's okay. Or should I stick with an adult film analogy?
No, go with the non-adult film.
You sure?
Okay, I'm gonna patent pending. I'm gonna patent pen that one. And hold on to that.
All right.
Anybody
very good.
Wants to use that reference to go like, oh, really? You can pick up a tip from a pro. That's good. That's good. I like that. Who said that? Gottlieb said that, not Jason Smith. Jason Smith said, go.
Yeah, the Doug Gottlieb Basketball Academy, where, hey, you know, is that, you talk about the star power. You just mentioned being low ratings for the Masters. Yes. And I guarantee you want to talk about something that's going to suffer from it. You're going to see it in a different comparison here is wait till you see the Oscars. Okay, wait till you see the Oscars. Now, you know the big movie fan I am, right? I see everything. But obviously last year was different. So you see that when the list for the movies for the Oscars came out, I said, I have not seen any one of these. I have not seen any one of these movies. Like, what have I seen? Everybody's been doing the streaming of the TV shows. You know, everybody's watching. You know, give me something that I can watch. Right? What can I watch? Oh, hey, I got 3 years of The Boys to go watch. Go watch The Boys. Oh, it's awesome. And that's what people have been doing for the pandemic. But all these movies that came out, you know, on different streaming services, they didn't have great word of mouth. They weren't movies that people went to go see. And I don't know anybody. That's going to watch the Oscars because it's got to be, you need the star power. And it's like, okay, you did have stars in these movies, but nobody saw them. So if it's something that, you know, it's you know, and not every year is created equal. Some years there's incredible movies and ratings are through the roof because people want to see, oh, I want to see this movie win or this movie win. But after this year, it's going to be, you look at the movie and go, okay, I didn't see any of those. I didn't see any of them. I didn't even know where I could see them. I mean, people are talking more about Godzilla versus Kong than they are about any movies at the Oscars. Why? Because it's something that cuts.
Went
so you
and
can actually go
theater.
See it in the theater.
Yeah, no, my son went and saw it. He was just all week last week. The last 2 weeks, he was just like, hey man, you want to go see Godzilla and Kong? You want to go see it? Like any friend he had over was like, you guys want it's. And again, remember, like, this is the first time you're having like friends over and hanging out and 75 degrees in Southern California. And you know, we're hopping in the hot tub or whatever. And he's like, you guys want to go see Godzilla and Kong? Like, dude, it's 75 degrees out. It's beautiful. Okay. Well, what about tonight? Like, well, I'm going to go to sleep. Anyway, he got a buddy to go see Godzilla and Kong and loved it. He's like, oh, it's amazing, Dad. You want to go back and see it? I'll go see it again. It was like best movie. And he said, best movie I've seen all year. It's like, only movie you've seen all year, big fella. Anyway, yeah,
I will say this.
I'm with you. You know, this is an interesting aside. Okay, so there's a company. I don't live close to where we broadcast from, right? I live a good 50 some odd miles. And the traffic's not terrible going in. It can be bad coming out. It's all a mixed. I'm pretty fortunate with my schedule, so I'm not sitting here complaining. I chose to live, right? That said, and I think this is kind of fascinating. There was a company that was getting ready to launch, and it was like a daily commuter plane from where I live to where work is. It's like, you know, like a 15, 20 minute flight, literally. And you drive, park at this private thing at the airport, and you just pay. It's like almost like joining a gym. And it wasn't that expensive. And, you know, they had like, supposedly Wi-Fi the whole time. And you just go like park, hop on, and they leave every half hour, and it goes and just kind of keeps going back and forth all day. And, you know, and then I was talking to a buddy, like, whatever happened to that company? Like, well, nobody goes to work anymore. So there's no commuter. Why do you need a commuter plane? Let alone if you did go to work, there was no traffic. It just didn't make any sense. And I was like, what industry is like that, where there was a really, really good idea that was about ready to launch that didn't get launched because of the pandemic? And I was thinking, well, that's got to be like, there's got to be hundreds of movies that weren't filmed during that time. And you got to wonder which one of those movies are going to be made.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show, Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. More adult film comparisons coming up throughout the show for different sports, different walks of life throughout here. So you want to stay tuned just for that. But also coming up next, we got Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback on the way. What's the latest on Deshaun Watson? Plus, could another NFL superstar actually team up with the Browns today? We got that coming up next. Keep it right here. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan Patrick. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
When you go to these events, and I know you because your daughter's a softball stud, you go to the softball, you know, it's like you just games all day, right? Now imagine if it's not just your daughter, I have five teams. So they're all playing whatever, they have a van, and like one of the, the mom, Lauren, like she started an adult beverage company. So they go out to the van and they're watching golf. They're watching the, I'm in there coaching their kids and they're out there watching the Masters and having adult beverages and texting me like, you should come out of your coach and come hang with us. Like, I'm coaching your kids.
Where's coach? He's having a beer out at the van. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
No. I mean, my behavior might be a little bit better on the sideline anyway, but I mean, those things are so dope. And that one that they gave away, that Dan gave away, I got a chance. There was a photo shoot that we did at Colin Cowherd's house or whatever. And I was just like, I want this. This is my new dream. I want this, and I want to roll every weekend in one of those. Those are amazing.
Because I noticed you moaned in the middle when I was saying that.
Now, oh, I did. I'm
going back to a few minutes ago when you compared golf to adult films, I don't usually hear the moan like that when I'm doing a read. I don't it's not something that normally comes by.
Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb, in for Dan. Then that's the Dan Patrick Show. We will get to some golf. We will get to some sports news. I'm sure. Jason wants to talk Jets and Mets, and Albert Breer is going to join us. I have a youth sports question for you.
Okay.
A youth sports question for you. Do you have a moment for it before we get to Albert Breer?
Sure, go ahead. Real quick, go ahead. Of course I do.
So we played in a tournament this weekend, okay? And what I've done is I have, for two age groups, I end up having... I'm going to say like 12 to 15, 16 kids, right? And so what would happen is we go to a tournament, and if you bring, this is in basketball, if you have 8 kids, it's usually about right. 7, 8 is about right. You get to 9 or more, and 8, 9, 10, 11, they're not going to be happy. There's just no way. And if you try and play everybody, like they're not all at the same talent level. And so in terms of trying to be really competitive, it's also very difficult because there's a massive drop off at times, right? So you're kind of balancing the two. And so I just chose to kind of expand and, hey, let's have a team. And now in basketball, and I don't know how it works in softball. I do think it works this way in baseball. They'll have gold division or platinum division, which is the uber elites. And it seems like everybody's a holdback, either that or I'm feeding all of our kids the wrong food, but whatever. And so instead of having 9 guys on a team, like let's just have 2 teams and try and have like 6 and just get through. If we could have 7, even better. And sometimes, you know, the kid who's the 7th and 8th guy on my A team will be the guy on the B team, right? And it's really hard to tell kids, and actually the parents is harder than the kids, like, listen, it's not like your kid's bad, and they're only 11. They're going to get better. This is a marathon, not a sprint, but I'm going to have 2 teams. I'm going to play your son on the other team. Most of them are fine with it. Some of them are... Anyway, I've had some great experiences with kids who are struggling on the higher level team, move them down so that they can be the guy and they feel really good and they're still playing around their buddies. Anyway, my 11U B team has like 6 kids and it's the most fun you'll ever have coaching a group of kids. They couldn't be, and they mollywomped this team yesterday. Okay, I mean, ran them off the court and played like the game of their lives, right? And the other coach, like midway through the second half, pulled his two best kids who weren't acting. They were kind of fouling really hard and kind of pouting and whatever. And so he challenged the game, and we got T-shirts but not trophies because I had two kids who had to fill in on the gold team because those gold team kids also play up in my 12U. And, you know, one got hurt and one was tired and one missed a game, whatever. I needed to have like six kids so they're not dying out there playing. Anyway, after the game, I was like, why would you ever do that? Like, these kids won. They're all in fifth grade. They're 10 and 11 years old. Your kids are in fifth grade. I have no idea their ages. I don't actually care. I don't care about your kids. Like, it's an integrity issue. It's like, integrity issue about what? It's like, well, that's the rules. Like, well, whatever. Like, if it means that much to you, fine. What means to me is like all six of these kids are from the same area and we started the team and we don't have two of the players. One here is hit. The other one's on vacation. Like, one kid's in Cabo, right? So like, this is the best we can do. It's a Sunday. These parents have been here for 3 days. Like, really? And he's like, you just don't understand. I was like, no, I don't think you understand. It's about the kids playing and having fun and playing the right way. That anyway, what are your thoughts on me using kids in two different brackets of the same age? As it's against the rules in this tournament, but is it the spirit of the rule? The spirit of the rule. Like, I'm not using, you know what I'm saying? I'm not like using my stud, who's like a fifth grade holdback who should be in seventh grade to dominate and mollywomp some kids. It ain't one of those deals.
Well, I'll tell you with this because we got Albert Breer getting set to come on with us right now, is that whatever the spirit of the rule is in youth sports, you are going to find and you are going to always be playing against the coach or the team that is always going to look for a way to say, oh, this wasn't done right. And if I couldn't win, I don't want you to win. And it's the rough side of it. But if that happened, there is such a small percentage of people who will say, yeah, okay, it's all right. And it's amazing that that's going to be the philosophy when you get into travel sports and certain things. But that's something that, look, I wouldn't care. You know, it's not like I'm going to say, okay, boy, they brought this kid up from a better league. And look, he's got, you know, he scored like 35 points on us, and that's kind of ridiculous. But it really doesn't matter because that's going to be, oh, they did this. Okay, now we couldn't win, so they shouldn't win either. And that's ridiculous. And I'm standing up for the kids. Meanwhile, it's just, hey, we lost, and I'm looking for a way to just make everybody's day miserable instead of trying to make everybody happy.
Yep.
It's a tough
part. Yes. Yeah. Youth sports is ruined by the adults. Always.
Joining us now on the hotline, a man who spent this weekend doing something he hadn't done in 25 years. He watched a steel cage match in professional wrestling. Monday morning quarterback, NFL insider Albert Breer. Albert, what's happening, my friend?
Yeah, I had some youth sports in there, too. I'm not at the point yet where, you know, my kids are there. Like, although my oldest, who's six, just made a travel hockey team, which I'm a little, like, to be honest with you, I'm like a little bit like, is this too young and all of that? But he's excited to be on the team. So I'll tell you this, like, when we were six, I think we just played with the kids in town, right? Like, that's, I don't know. Like, that's the way I remember it, at least.
Yeah, it's gotten a little, now it's, if you're not playing travel, you're not playing club, it's, oh, you're way behind, you're way behind. It's like, wow, okay, all right, I guess we'll do it.
I feel the travel thing to me, if I remember right, and I don't know if you guys, I'm 41, I was born in 1980, so I grew up in the 80s and 90s. I don't think, like, travel teams were really even a thing, outside of, like, Pop Warner football. We had that. Where we played other towns. But, like, until you were in middle school, really, I don't feel like there was any travel anything, right?
Where'd
like,
you grow up?
Just like,
where'd you grow up?
Huh?
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Massachusetts.
I was in California. It started, you know, fifth, sixth grade.
Right, that's what I'm saying, went, like middle school.
But, yeah.
But now
Say this, like, if your kid wants to play, I think baseball is the same. I think basketball and baseball are the same. Okay, because I have a kid that's played both. Yeah, if it's me, and I get it, there's some things culturally that are bad about the travel sports, and it's just, and if you're with somebody and it's just a moneymaker to them, and get them the bags and the hats and the clothes and the gear, and it's just a check writing fest, I understand it. But if they really want to be good at the sport, the earlier you get them in, the better. And here's why. This is, and because my son started playing probably third, but not a high enough level in hindsight. And just the catching up to the speed. And in basketball, the athleticism and the size, you just like I have a group of 13-year-olds who are mostly from Newport Beach, California, right?
Right.
And some of them have played with me a little bit longer. And I had a group that I kind of imported that they're all friends and they play in different teams. And we kind of morphed them this year. And it's taking them a while. And they played travel ball to a lower level. It's taking them a while to adjust to the speed. And that's at 13.
Right.
And that's, even that's, it's late. And the earlier, it's the same thing with baseball. Like, if they don't get used to seeing the explosive speed or the ball coming off of a pitcher's hand at them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when they get to be 11, 12, a curveball. Like, you get to 14. Dude, it's over. Like, it's too
I'll
late.
Tell you what,
they're too fast, too athletic.
Hockey is absolutely that way. Because I didn't play hockey growing up, but it was around, obviously. And I took an interest in hockey. It was too late because I just wasn't a good enough skater, you know. So I played other sports. But my kid plays, and I'm telling you, like, these little six-year-olds are, like, they're all way better skaters than me. You know what I mean? Like, they're all, I mean, it's amazing how they pick it up. And I think hockey was always sort of always that way, but it's just with the other sports. I think you're right. Like, it's, you know, there is that, like, well, if you don't get on the train now, your kid's going to be left behind. And I mean, even like lacrosse, right? Like, so like the high school I went to was, and we were like nationally ranked in lacrosse. We had kids when I went to high school with that went to
a lot
like
of massholes.
See,
you're pointing the picture of a lot of massholes.
guys with
sweaters tied around their neck,
yeah.
Polo shirts, right?
Yeah.
Or the rugby shirt. Yeah.
But even like for us, like lacrosse was still like back then, you couldn't play youth lacrosse in my town till seventh or eighth grade. And we were one of the only towns that had youth lacrosse. I mean, my kid on Thursday night was out there. He's a kindergartner in full pads playing lacrosse.
That's awesome.
A kindergartner.
They're so cute, though, in the full regalia. They're just so adorable. You're like, oh, my God, I love you.
I'll tell you what. I remember the first time I put on football pads, and I was, like, 9 years old. And I remember, like, it's kind of uncomfortable and everything else. My kid thinks it's the coolest thing on earth that he gets to wear pads. He calls it armor.
Yeah,
he wears pads in hockey. He wears pads in lacrosse. He thinks it's the coolest thing on earth.
I can't believe you got your son all tatted up, Albert. Let's get to some football stuff. You've done this a long time. Can you think of anything more? I don't even know. I'm bizarre would be planting a word, but how would you characterize the Deshaun Watson story from? Okay, a month and a half ago, it was, why won't Houston just trade him? He doesn't want to play there. Will Houston really stick their feet in the ground? Like, everybody, you can't find anyone in the NFL prior to these lawsuits that had anything that I know of bad say or even a bad interaction with him, right? Like, we all have bad days. Like, you know what, Deshaun Watson secretly?
No, he was completely clean.
To now where you couldn't trade him. And I don't think you can play him. And no one knows what his football future is. You've done this a long time. Can you remember anything kind of like this?
No, and I think it's impossible to have a take on it, to be honest with you.
Right.
Because, I mean, like, I don't know how anybody can go on TV, go on the radio, you know, write. Like, I don't know how anybody can have a hard take on it. Because if you do, you're either A, indicting Watson, and that's not fair. You know, you look at the way he's carried himself as you know, a collegian and now as a pro. And I mean, he's, and maybe he's guilty of this, but like, I feel like he's earned at least the benefit of the doubt. Right. You know, so you're either indicting somebody who's earned the benefit of the doubt or you're not taking these allegations seriously enough, which we've all seen people who had great reputations do horrible things in the past. That's happened.
Right.
So, like, I just don't know how you can have any sort of take on this. And I can't remember a situation quite like this. Even, like, you know, I know it gets compared to Roethlisberger, but, I mean, like, Roethlisberger, there were rumblings about, like, him. Like, that sort of was – it wasn't out there what he had done, but it was, like, I kind of had this he's a little reckless in his personal life thing, like, that was sort of hovering over him, you know, as a star rose in Pittsburgh. So – I, I don't even want to use Darren Sharper's name because that's such an extreme example. But he was somebody who had a great reputation.
Great
and that
point.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that, like he had an incredible reputation. And I think like so many of us thought the world of him. And then all of a sudden all this stuff happened. And again, like the last thing I want to do is compare him to Watson because we don't know like the truth
of what's real
now.
What's not. Right.
But here's the reality of it, right? Like, so if you're the Texans, he's still the most valuable asset in your organization, right? A 25-year-old franchise quarterback. And, you know, like I just don't know how if you're the Texans, you part with him for anything less than a historic haul. And if you're another team, you can't give up a historic haul until you have clarity in the situation. And again, that's not indicting Watson. It's just the reality of the situation. I mean, I know teams where the owner's not going to let it happen. You know, the owner just says, I need clarity on this because this guy's going to be the face of my franchise and we're going to look terrible if we, you know, if, you know, we trade for him and then, you know, 3 months later, it turns out all this stuff is true. So, you know, I think that that's sort of where it is that everybody's waiting for clarity on the situation. And, you know, what complicates it from a football standpoint is that, I don't think the court system in Texas is worried about getting anybody an answer before the NFL draft, you know. And once we get past the draft, now we're talking about teams planning towards 2021 and everything else. And so he's such a great player that I don't like I think his value will hold if he's cleared of all of this. But the timing is certainly a factor. And, you know, I think at this point, you're probably talking about him at least having put himself in a bad situation and in a situation that makes the league look bad. And we've seen Roger Goodell suspend players in the past who have crossed that threshold, who don't have criminal charges against them and haven't been convicted of anything.
Albert, I'm going to ask something I shouldn't ask, but it's my fault because I had a story to tell, which bled in your time. Can you hang with us through the break real quick? Because I do think that this story is what's triggered all this other quarterback movement. All right, cool.
Yeah, we also got to find out, you know, Albert, you know, watching the steel cage match in, you know, WWE this week.
Yeah, that's I never answered that. Huh? I was too wrapped up in your conversation about U Sports. So yeah, we can cover all that after the break.
All right, we got more with Albert Breer right here. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan in the Danettes. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, Albert, for your weekend here, you know, we talked about Deshaun Watson a few minutes ago. You watched your first steel cage wrestling match in 25 years this weekend. So are you going to quit covering the NFL now and go cover WWE? Is that what's going to happen?
It was weird because, like, the one guy, like, I think, was it Vince McMahon's son was in the match, I think, right? I think that's what it was. And, like, the other guy who was built like a freaking, you know, defensive end on every steroid in the planet, like, he, like, yanked the fencing off the cage. I'd never seen anything like that. Like, so they're still getting pretty creative with it. But I, you know what, like, screwed me up about it? Like, and I, this is actually interesting because I just realized that, like, if Peacock actually was going to give you this stuff for free, which I didn't, like I have Comcast at home and I get Peacock. And so, and I don't know if that's an ad for you guys here or whatever, but yeah, I had, I just figured out that I could get it for free. So I turned it on. The camera angles and the amount of zooming and zooming in, zooming out, like cutting away, I mean, like, my God, like, what happened? Like, is this new that they've been doing this?
I don't know.
It's like that old commercial Dan used to do for Sports Center. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like that old commercial Dan used to do for Sports Center for wrestling, where he says, "Why don't you cover wrestling?" He goes, "Well, the camera angles you guys use don't really do." No, it's just been a different way of covering it. This live sporting event. It's been something over the past, like, I would say, few months to a year. They've been doing it that way.
Let's get to football for 1 second. Okay, so we mentioned the quarterback thing. So these guys, Trey Lance going to have a second pro day next week, right? And Justin Fields. And really what this is, for people who aren't aware, they're not having a second pro day. It's really a private workout. They're just not allowed to have private workouts, so they call it a second pro day, right? It's really all that's ever happened before, only just a different way of wording it to be fair with what the NFL wants. Anyway, what are you hearing with Shanahan at 3? Because so many people said, like, they like Mac Jones. They just don't like him at 3. The league is trending the way of a more athletic quarterback. And based upon how it feels like they're going to hold on to Garoppolo, they'd get a more developmental guy and have him sit and learn for a year.
Right.
That wouldn't be Mac Jones. What are you hearing about the 3rd pick?
Yeah, I mean, I think the interest in Mac Jones is real. I was told about a week ago they hadn't made a final decision yet. I mean, you know, and I think that they felt like going in there were 5 first-round quarterbacks. So those are the 5 that they really had, you know, a group of people inside the organization, coaches, scouts, look at back in January and February when they were trying to plot what they were going to do, you know, whether or not it was, you know, going after Stafford, which, you know, their interest in Stafford was pretty limited, you know, or trade for Sam Darnold or ultimately go and move up in the draft. You know, I think the consensus around the league right now is Mac Jones is going to be a quarterback that you'd be happy with on day one. The question is, are you still going to be happy with him in year 4, year 5, or when you get to that point, are you going to be looking to replace him? Whereas, you know, with a Fields or a Lance, maybe you want to sit them at the beginning, but is one of these guys going to become Patrick Mahomes in 4 years, you know? And so I think it's sort of a, you know, the debate is, like, are you looking for something that you'd be happy with now and could grow into something more than what he is, but might be maxed out? Or are you willing to take a moonshot where there's some developmental things that you're going to have to do with the quarterback, but it could wind up being a real home run? And I think that's sort of what the Niners, you know, that's the process the Niners are going through right now. And that's, you know, why Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are going to be in Columbus on Wednesday and Fargo next Monday. And what's really interesting about these pro days, guys, and I wrote about this in my Monday column. You know, normally you'd have the throwing coach, John Beck for Justin Fields and Quincy Avery for Trey Lance, run the pro day and script the pro day. Well, you know, my understanding is both Fields and Lance are planning to let the NFL people there run the pro day. So, you know, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch will be able to go and actually tell the guys, like, this is what I want to see.
Right.
And they're going to give it to him, which I think is really smart on the part of the quarterbacks. Because if you're trying to sell yourself to a team, you know, here's what you do. You say, anything you want me to do, tell me and I'll go and do it.
Right.
Albert Breer, you can follow him on Twitter, at Albert Breer. Thanks a bunch for stopping by with us, sticking around. We got more on the quarterbacks coming up next. This is Jason Smith and Doug Gottlieb in for Danny the Danettes on Fox.